Agents Podcast. Lofty is an AI-powered platform that agents, teams, and brokers absolutely love, helping them optimize every step of the customer journey from search to settlement by using a single, flexible hub to automate marketing programs, streamline the sales process, and maximize collaboration, which is pretty key when you have a lot of people on the platform. Now, with innovative features like Social Studio, AI Assistant, one of my favorites, Dynamic CMA, video messaging, and a lot more, Lofty users have the competitive edge, empowering them to close more deals faster. Powered by proven AI technology, Lofty ensures that real estate pros can spend less time juggling multiple software applications and more time building relationships, which is what we're supposed to be doing. See if Lofty's right for you by visiting lofty.com or call 877-877-3772.
Going forward in this real estate world, there are probably a handful of things that I think are the most important that an agent needs to most focus on. And one of them is, in light of this, you know, little slight in the news topic where there's some adjustments happening with buyer commissions and consumers questioning your value. And although it's, you know, now a little bit behind us, it's going to be very relevant as we progress and evolve into the future. And communicating your value is something that I think most and many agents very much struggle with. Yeah, and that's why we're bringing back the guy who taught you the open house strategy that will take your open houses from basically no visitors to a massive subdivision party. If you missed that episode with Mike Litton, you need to go back and listen to it, because he's back to talk about the best way to communicate your value. Mike, welcome back, man. Let's jump into this.
Hey, I'm excited to be here, bud. This has been fun.
Absolutely. You and I, since our first episode now, have had multiple conversations, myself on your podcast, now you back again on ours. And you know, I've made content out of the open house one. If you haven't seen that, you should absolutely, like I said, go check it out. I believed in it so much. Like I said, I made content out of it. And actually, Mike, I didn't tell you this, but that reel that I created, you know, thousands of views, it performed very, very well.
That's awesome.
And I think it's just because it caught people's attention. Like, ooh, yeah, you know, what do you got? And you saw it, because I was tagging you in the comments, and yeah, people were asking follow-up questions. That's good stuff. And
yeah, it was cool.
Very cool. And it validates what you can bring to the industry. And so wherever you're listening right now, buckle up, get your pen and paper out. If you're on the treadmill, you might have to listen to this again. If you're driving, you might have to listen to it again. But Mike, let's jump into this. Obviously, in, you know, as of the recent NAR verdict and all the changes that are coming down the pike, you know, let me ask you this first before we get into the communication of value, because I don't think we need to go down the rabbit hole of you telling our listeners who you are, because they should have already listened to the previous one. What is your take on all of this that has gone down now? And it's been, you know, over a month ago. What is, just giving your over 30,000 foot view on just everything that's happening?
Yeah. So thanks for having me on, by the way. I love you guys. You know that. And I'm excited for our time together. You know, my 30,000 foot view is this: very little changes. So the couple of things that change here and at the time that we're recording this, this is if the judge actually approves it. Okay. This is the proposed settlement, but basically you cannot have the CBB percentage published, if this goes through, on the MLS as of July. You also need a buyer broker agreement signed by your client before you start showing them property. Okay. Open houses are going to change. Speaking of open houses, that's going to change, because the person that shows them the property is going to have an agreement signed, or they're going to have to bring their agreement with them to the open house. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So all this has to be in writing, which is not a bad thing. I mentioned this to you before we hit record. I've been using the buyer broker agreement for 20 plus years now. I owned a Keller Williams office for 18 years, right? I was the owner broker. I've been using buyer broker agreements for a very, very long time. And part of the reason for it is after you execute one with a client, they visibly take a breath, like they visibly relax because they've now formalized their agreement with you where you are now representing them. They now know that they've got somebody in their corner who is well-versed, experienced, knows what they're doing and will actually go to bat for them. So it's actually a very cool thing. And this, what's coming from this, and you know me well enough to know that no matter what the situation is, I'm going to find a positive. And I'll tell you what the positive is here. The positive here is we're all going to get better trained. We're all going to get better equipped at what we do. And we're going to be better at what we do, period. Right? There was never a requirement ever. And I want to talk about the history of real estate too, obviously, in this, but it's never been a requirement that a seller pay a co-op commission. That's why in every listing agreement that you look at, and I don't care which association you belong to, but whatever form you're using in all 50 states, there's a blank where the CBB is put in on the listing agreement. It can be zero. So it's never been a requirement. It's always been an option, and commissions have always been negotiable. The only thing that really changes here is you need a buyer broker agreement and agency disclosure, and you need to pick up the phone and call the listing agent and say, hey, what's the CBB on this one? Okay. The idea that a seller is not going to pay a co-op commission on a listing agreement puts the seller in jeopardy. And it's going to be up to the listing agent to have that conversation with the seller so that that house is not the pariah that's sitting on the island that nobody will touch. Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so as you mentioned, the one form that's something that you feel like, you know, you've been using forever, and this is all the additional, you know, checks and balances effectively, now are a good thing.
Yeah.
Right. And
oh, it's a great thing. When it's all said and done, we're going to look back at this. It's going to be a great thing.
But yet, you know, when you look at it on a surface level, you've got a consumer base that has probably, arguably, this whole thing has only dug the hole deeper on consumer sentiment. Part of it's because of how it's portrayed. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the other side, which is the agent population, whereas, as you've mentioned, and you and I both have felt this, you got a lot of people freaking out. Mm-hmm. And so maybe speak to both of those sides as to kind of what your take is, you know, from, you know, first of all, there's the consumer's perspective, and then there's the agent perspective. And then let's start working into, you know, how the agents who are going to stick this out can navigate it.
Yeah. So first of all, let me start with the last thing. So agents who stick this out are going to see a better operating environment than what they're currently operating in. Okay. We have currently a bunch of some ambiguity here that we're not going to have anymore. Okay. So this is going to be something that's going to be required. You're going to have to do it. Part of why people are freaking out, to go back to what you were talking about at the beginning, part of the reason that people are freaking out in the real estate industry is because of the change. Okay. Really, it's about the change. What they have perceived from a lot of the misinformation that's come out in the mainstream media. And by the way, just so you know, Barbara Corcoran this morning, literally this morning, we're taping on Good Friday, she came out with an interview that she did, an article about the NAR settlement is nothing. It's no big deal. That's literally what she said. And the reason she said it is because it's true. All it's going to do is button up some of our procedures, and it's going to get us to a place to where we're going to need to be a little bit more versed in how we communicate our value as buyer's agents and brokers to a prospective buyer. Okay. Now, if it's okay with you, so consumers are looking at this and they're reading a lot of what's coming out of the mainstream media that's not correct. then they're coming back to us and saying, oh, well, you know what just, you know what just happened? We don't have to pay commissions anymore.
Yeah.
We don't have to pay the buyer's commissions anymore. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that. Well, here's the thing. You never had to.
Yeah.
You literally never had to. All commissions have always been negotiable. They are negotiable now. Okay. Now, the question is, does the listing agent then sit with a seller today? And I've talked to a bunch of people in the last couple of days in preparation for this, and they're already getting these objections. Okay. Where a seller is saying, look, I don't have to pay for a co-op commission. Okay. Well, according to the National Association of Realtors, 86% of all transactions closed in the United States are co-op transactions.
86.
So let me ask you a question, Mr. and Mrs. Seller. Should we take good care of our co-op brokers or should we not? Would you rather open yourself up to 14% of the market or 100% of the market?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the power of questions. Okay. And the premise to all this is, when you're talking with a buyer, for a prospective buyer, you want to be educating them, okay? Because they need to know what is correct information they've been receiving and what's misinformation they've been receiving, okay? And your job as the professional is to help them sort this out, okay? Does that help?
Yep.
Is it okay if we talk about the history of selling real estate in the U.S.?
Let's do it.
Okay. So decades ago, back before 1990, back before Eastman versus Strasburg, pardon me, it was a lawsuit. When you wanted to buy a house, you had to go through the listing agent. There wasn't such a thing as buyer's agents back then. We didn't have co-ops, okay? But because, and so what you did was you went directly to the listing agent. The listing agent worked for the seller and they would write up the contract, but they would not negotiate for you on your behalf. You were not represented as the buyer. What happened was a number of buyers back then got to a point to where they felt like they were taken advantage of. And there were a number of lawsuits that were filed, including Strasburg, okay? The number of lawsuits that were filed by buyers that felt like they were not being represented properly, okay? That's how we ended up with co-op transactions, because of Eastman versus Strasburg in 1990. So then we end up with this co-op transaction deal, right? And so now you have a listing agent who is willing to, they can in the state of California still represent both, okay? But there's agency on both sides according to California real estate law. So you have agency where the seller is concerned, but you also, if you represent the buyer, have agency where the buyer is concerned. So that's why you have a listing agreement that has a total listing number, a total commission number. And let's just use an example. Let's say it's 6%. You then have in the actual listing agreement, there's another section that says, or that asks, how much are you paying to the co-op broker? It's literally blank, Jeff. It's literally blank. And the reason why it's literally blank is because it's never been a requirement. Now, if you're a seller and you want to compete with other listings that are paying a co-op broker, okay, then you're going to want to offer that. But that's going to come down to the listing agent's ability or the broker's ability to demonstrate and communicate their value, okay? And the way that, and I know this isn't about listing agents, but the way that dialogue goes is, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I'm your listing broker. My job is to get you the absolute maximum amount I can for this property. Yes? Yes. Right? In order to do that, do we need more people showing your property or fewer?
More.
Okay. Well, yeah. What are they going to say? Right? So they want more. Okay. In order to get you more people showing your property, right, we need to offer to the marketplace an incentive to make that happen. Now, let me walk you through how this works. 15, 20 years ago, somebody would call me and say, I'm looking for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1500 square foot house with a two-story or two-car attached garage, single story. I would go in the MLS. I would search it. I would get 10 properties out. I would take them out to show them the properties. Today, they show up with a list for us. Okay. We don't give them a list. They show up with a list for us. Yeah. Okay. And then we go and show them the properties. Now, here's the question, Mr. and Mrs. Seller. Who sets up the order of those 10 properties that are going to be shown?
Buyer's agent?
The co-op broker, correct. The buyer's agent. Okay. Now, if you're offering 3% co-op and the rest of the market's offering 2.5%, and then there's a couple of them that are offering 2%, who do you think they're going to show first?
Yeah.
The higher and one. Who would you prefer that they show first?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
This literally comes down to this is how they pay their bills. Okay. These co-op brokers, these buyer's agents, to think for a second that they're not going to look at that number is just not reality. Okay. They shouldn't show them only properties that have a higher number, but it does happen. Okay. And it does factor into the fact that we're in a capitalistic, a capitalistic market, whatever. Yeah. Well, so when you start looking at this and you start talking with them about it, all of a sudden they understand how this works. Right. And so at that point, then you figure out, and what I would always tell them as the listing broker is, look, I'm your listing broker. You're paying me whatever, and I'll work for you for whatever number you want to pay me.
Right.
You know, if it's 3%, 4%, 5%, 6%, whatever, right. I'll work for you for whatever you want to pay me. I will split 50-50 with the co-op broker and offer that to them, half of whatever you pay me. So if you pay me 5%, I'll offer 2.5% to them. Okay. That's the fair way to do it. That's the above board fair way to do it. The vast majority, 90%+ of the listings that I've taken over the years have been 6%. And the reason they have been is because we've had this conversation where literally using questions, we've been able to show them value. What I will do with a buyer is when I'm sitting with the buyer, and oftentimes I have sellers that I've listed a property for that are now going out and we're taking them out as a buyer, right? And I'll say to them, if you remember when we first met, we had you execute what's called a listing agreement where we listed your home for sale, right? Just like an agreement listing your property employs us to list your property and sell it for you. This document, this buyer broker agreement, employs us to represent you on the buyer side. So it's just like a listing agreement, right? All it does is formalize in writing legally what our relationship is. You're employing me.
Yep.
Okay. And one of the things that I heard yesterday that I thought was awesome, and it came from Tom Ferry, was I want to apply for the position of representing you as your broker. Right. And the way we go about doing that is we have this agency disclosure signed and we have this buyer broker agreement signed.
Yep.
So what I would suggest is ask, if you're a buyer's agent and you're sitting with a prospective buyer, ask them, are you familiar with the history of selling real estate in the U.S.? Would it surprise you to know that there actually was no co-op commission years ago? Decades ago, there was no co-op commission. Decades ago, there was no buyer's agent to represent you as a buyer. Would that surprise you? And almost every one of them will say, yeah, how did that happen? Then you can explain it to them. It gives you an opportunity to explain your worth and your expertise. Okay? So when you don't have a co-op commission offered on the MLS, in other words, if it can't be published on the MLS, all the buyer broker is going to do is pick up the phone and call the listing agent, get the number, right? And then they're going to go to work showing the property. So it's important that you understand that you can literally demonstrate and communicate your value by using these questions. Other questions you can ask are you familiar with what the current offer to purchase real estate looks like? Are you familiar with what that offer looks like? If you're not, we can go through it. If with your permission, we can go through it real quick and I can show you the different protections that are in that offer form for buyers, for you as a buyer. Are you familiar with home inspections? Are you familiar with termite or pest inspections? Are you familiar with preliminary title reports? Are you familiar with escrow? Are you familiar with how we go about closing? Are you familiar with why title insurance is required? How about the mortgage application process? Are you familiar with how that works? Okay. All of these things, all of these questions demonstrate your value. They give you an opportunity as the expert to then communicate to them what they need to know and why they should hire you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we actually didn't have co-op commissions in the beginning, and buyers felt like they had been taken advantage of, because they had, right? Another question that you can ask a prospective buyer is, let me ask you a question. Would you rather have the agent that works for the seller represent you, or would you rather have your own representation?
Yeah.
Because who does the listing agent work for? And that's another question you can ask the buyer. Who does the listing agent work for? I don't know. Are you familiar with how a listing agreement works? No. Well, is it okay if we go through it real quick? Absolutely. There's a gross commission. Yeah. Let's call it 6%. And then there's a co-op commission that's called for or delineated in that actual agreement. Right? And it's a percentage, okay, of whatever the total purchase price is. So that's the part where they are allowing you to be represented by me, and they're paying me out of that gross commission. Or my broker, right?
Yeah.
So it gives you an opportunity to walk them through how this is set up and why it's set up. Because there literally is a historical precedent for this.
What was the name of that lawsuit again?
It was Eastman versus Strasburg.
Do you think it's important for an agent? Because the first thing I'm thinking is, it's probably pretty important to know more about this, because that's an important education that goes back to, and I didn't realize it was so recent. I mean, yeah. 1990 is not recent, but it's not that. I was thinking you were going to say sometime in the 70s or something.
What I delineated was what happened in the 70s, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, right? Up until 90, right? So when you went to buy a house, and by the way, I heard feedback when I was a kid, okay? I graduated from high school. This is terrible. I'm dating myself. But I graduated from high school in 1984. But I heard feedback from my parents and from other friends of mine, their parents, about how they felt like they were part of this like system, like they didn't have anybody looking out for them. I heard that feedback as early as the early 80s. I didn't understand it exactly because I was in high school at the time and I didn't really know anything about real estate, but I can still remember overhearing those conversations where my parents and other parents were frustrated because they didn't have anybody that they felt like was looking out for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so they felt like that the seller basically was driving this boat. I'm going to share something with you, if it's okay, that happened with us. You knew I owned a Keller Williams office for 18 years. During the time that we owned the Keller Williams office, I was the owner and the broker, right? And we were sued. We were in a lawsuit. And we went into the actual proceeding. We won the suit. And the judge, after he said that he gave us the victory, literally said to me, I'd like to take the next few minutes in open court and tell you what's wrong with California real estate law. I'm not joking. And he spent the next 20 minutes, almost, it felt like an eternity, but it was probably 20, 30 minutes. He literally sat in open court with the court reporter taking record. Okay. I mean, we literally, okay. And talked about the fact that years ago, the pendulum was all the way over here where the seller basically had all the rights and the buyer was basically out in the cold as far as real estate law was concerned. And then after Eastman's Trustberg, it swung the other way. Okay, so it went this way. And it wasn't just Eastman's Trustberg, it was other cases too, but that was sort of the one that broke the camel's back. But then the laws pendulum, it's like a pendulum thing, right? Went all the way over here, okay? And he said, listen, we're protecting the buyers too much now. And this was just a few years ago. He said, we're protecting the buyers too much now, and it's at the cost of the seller and the seller's rights. It needs to get more balanced. I didn't disagree with him. And we did talk about the history of real estate and all that kind of thing, just like we talked about. And he wasn't wrong. Okay. The fact of the matter is, buyers have a lot of protections now because buyers needed them, because years ago, the sellers basically took advantage, if you will, of the laws and the rights that were afforded. So buyers have more rights now, okay? And it's important that they do. Now, has it swung too far over? Probably. And I don't think he's necessarily wrong. It needs to be more balanced, but right now the buyer has the advantage in terms of protection.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, the history a little bit too, just because I'm curious. And yeah. I think this is important. I think this is an important part of value communication when, you know, again, you can take something that effectively validates the reason that we have buyer's agents. And the first thing is this: I graduated high school in 1995. So that dates me in comparison to you. I was hoping you were going to say you graduated high school before I was born. And then I was going to really tease you.
But close.
not quite. So how did a buyer, and this is my ignorance here, how did a buyer find homes before buyer's agents were a thing?
They had to go to the listing broker. So I don't, and this is, again, I'm dating myself, but when I got started in the business, we had MLS books, mm-hmm. not computers.
No technology.
I'm really dating myself here, but back when I got started in the business, no joke, fax machines were just becoming a thing. So yeah, that tells you how old I am. I need to stop talking about this. I'm like literally growing white hair as we speak. But the long and the short of it was there were these books, and the books had from the multiple listing service these properties that were available, right? And so you would go to the listing broker, and the listing broker would tell you what was available in the marketplace. Okay. And then eventually you got to a point where you had co-op brokers that could then represent the buyers.
Yeah, but pre-1990 then, so when you went to the listing, that's all there was. That's all it was basically, right? So
that's all there basically was.
Then they would give you a list and you would choose what to go see, or did someone kind of assist you along? I guess not, because there was no
such eventually they were able to take them and show them. Right.
Prior to that, legally, they couldn't take them and show them.
No, because in the very beginning, you had to go through the seller's broker.
So a buyer had to call the listing agent to facilitate. I guess lockboxes probably didn't exist then. The agent actually had to go to the house and meet him, I imagine.
Well, lockboxes were a new invention.
Yeah. But I don't know when. Right? I'm learning some things.
So, okay? Yeah. So, right. And the lockboxes we have now are electronic.
Yeah.
Right. Back then, you know, it was right. So the listing broker, a lot of times the listing broker had to actually, or the listing broker's agents, okay, had to go let them in.
It's actually, I don't know, because I don't have my real estate license. They should talk about this stuff. And as you're getting your license, to understand just kind of, like I said, the evolution.
Well, they did when I got my license in 92. Here we go.
My calculator doesn't calculate that high.
I know. They're thumbed up zeros, right? So, but literally back when I got my license, I was five, just so we're clear, right? I literally used that the other day. I was teaching, and I said, you know, I got my license when I was five, and everybody kind of chuckled, right? And afterwards, this lady comes up to me and she goes, They were licensing people at 5 years old? No, I was joking, right? But basically they told us that, or shared with us that that history, and why it was, because back then Eastman Strasburg was less than 2 years old.
It was fresh, so, yeah. So and then, okay, then the second question is prior to this time, so now setting the stage, buyer went to listing broker, buyer got list, buyer facilitated, coordinated their own showings, listing agent had to actually...
Buyer went for listing agent to see.
Yeah, listing agents had to show up, unlike how it is today.
That's why open houses were such a big deal, because you would hold an open house and you'd have everybody come to the, as a listing broker, you'd have everybody come to the open house back then.
Yeah. Okay. So then also back then, what was it that was happening that a listing agent was taking advantage of a buyer? Because was it the same process that the listing agent would coordinate with the seller as to what the percentage would be? And then the listing agent just collected all of it?
The listing agent collected all of it, and the listing agent was the one that wrote it up. So if you wanted that house, you would have the listing agent write up the offer, right? And all of that would go through the listing agent. So the problem with that is buyers felt like they didn't have a choice, if you can imagine, right? And buyers felt like that they were not represented, which they really weren't. You had the listing agent that was literally dictating from what the seller wanted, because the listing agent was working for the seller.
Yeah.
Right. They were literally, and that's why these lawsuits happened. That's why all this took place, because eventually there was enough of a groundswell of people feeling like they had been shut out, so to speak, right? Or not represented correctly. And that's how this ended up changing. But it's that as a buyer's agent today, and a broker, it's important that you sit with your prospective client and share with them what the history is.
Yeah.
With me?
Yeah.
Because it literally takes them from what it used to be all the way up to today.
What was the standard commission rate prior to this change?
It was 6%.
Wow. So it's almost like real estate agents were just getting loaded back then. Their income got cut in half when this lawsuit happened.
Yeah, but you need to think about this. The average price of a home back then was $20,000-$30,000.
Yeah, it's all relative. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not what it is today.
No, yeah. No, I get it. But now here we are almost potentially back there again. Now it's because the listing agent is going to be the one negotiating. They're the ones in control again. And now they're going to dictate to the buyer's agent, and then it's up to them to decide if the commission that they offer will impact that their house gets seen or not. That's basically what you said, right?
Well, but the difference here is you still have buyer representation. You still have buyer agency, right? So the difference is from this settlement or proposed settlement is they're not able to publish the CVB on the MLS, which means all you do is pick up the phone and call the listing agent to find out what it is. And then the second thing is you have to have a written agreement between you and the buyer to represent them. That's it. And so it's not this sort of onerous thing where like some of the mainstream media has been saying that prices are going to drop and all these things are going to happen. And they interviewed the CEO of a major national real estate company who shall remain nameless the other day. And they said, you know, is this going to cause commissions to go down? And that person said, and I quote, if commissions go down, that's what we're all about. We've been all about that from day one. Well, okay. But the long and the short of it is commissions don't dictate what people pay for a property.
Yeah.
What dictates what a person pays for a property is supply and demand. That's what dictates what they pay for a property in negotiation, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is interesting. It was actually interesting. I was on a call with a fairly decent sized national brokerage the other day, and it was just a buddy of mine has a fairly decent sized brokerage, and he got on, you know, some executive at the brokerage level, another buddy of his, who's a pretty prominent real estate coach. And then he wanted me on from a marketing perspective. And I listened to this executive at this big brokerage, which I won't name the name. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is the problem with our industry. And I'll tell you a couple of things that this person said. And, you know, part of it was data driven and, you know, try to lift up their confidence. But a couple of the things that this person said that blew my mind was, you know, they used the phrase, you know, date the rate, marry the home, and you need to be using that. And I'm like, I didn't say anything, but I'm like, first of all, that was so a year and a half ago. Second of all, they shouldn't have been using it then. It was a bad idea to begin with, because it's when you really dig into it, it although it makes sense, it reeks of commission breath. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that this person said was, is you need to be going to social media. It was very specific, clearly didn't see my backdrop. You need to be going to social media and talking about and defending your, use the word defending your value. And this person got off the call after they were done talking, thankfully, because then I came up next and said, you know, I asked my buddy, I'm like, is so-and-so still here? And they said, no. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, I disagree with several things he said, and let me explain why. Yeah. And, but to me, it was more like, oh my God, mm-hmm. how many conversations like this are going on? And this isn't mm-hmm. just a broker. This is an executive level person here. It's like, oh, this is scary, man.
Well, but Jeff, you got to think about this for a second. Okay. We're talking about an executive from a major national real estate firm mm-hmm. who, for lack of a better term, is running scared right now.
Yeah, or out of touch.
Well, because there are a lot of people that are in his employ that are bailing. They're getting out of the business, and they're doing it because of panic. And so the way that the industry, and this isn't right, but the way the industry reacts to things like this is, hey, let's get tough. Let's defend ourselves. We're being attacked here. Yeah. We're not being attacked. There's no attacking going on. In fact, what this settlement basically does is just clean things up a little bit. It's not an attack. You don't have to defend yourself. And the fact of the matter is, this is not about going out there and trying to be defensive. This is about going out there and saying, look, we are in the situation that we're in because of history, right? And let me help show you the way. This is literally about the tone that you bring and the questions that you ask that help to empower the communication that you're having between you and that prospective buyer. And by the way, I would submit to you that it's changing. And I know this for a fact because I was on the phone with a bunch of friends of mine that are listing brokers and broker owners the last few days preparing for this. And the conversations that we were having were, look, our listing presentation is going to change. And our listing presentation is going to change because of all of the misinformation that's out there, yeah. right? Because we know for a fact that they're going to ask us about it. Uh-huh. And so we need to be prepared to be able to have that conversation with them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting conversation. I'm glad. And I'm glad you reached out and said, let's have this, because, you know, I'm curious. And again, I'm slightly removed. Obviously I have 25 years in the business, but I've never gotten my license. So I don't know exactly the conversations that are being had. And I don't know if this lawsuit, is it Easton or Eaton?
It's Eastman.
Eastman and Strasburg.
Yeah. Eastman versus Strasburg.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, I think this is just incredibly foundationally important. And prior to 2 weeks ago at the time of this recording was irrelevant. Yeah. Didn't matter. Well, right.
We weren't having this conversation because the status quo was the status quo. Right. But the way we got to the status quo was through these series of lawsuits that ended up getting settled just like this one did.
You know, the funny thing is, and I said this to you off the air, and you know what I believe in, and not to say that what you're saying is also, I mean, it's, everything's got to work together. But you know, the visibility is credibility, and that the agent who has the visibility will have far less of a issue presenting value than the person that doesn't have the visibility, because visibility does create credibility. And so oftentimes a buyer is going to just automatically feel comfortable. And the borrower, the consumer is going to be less defensive or on the offensive in order to feel like they need to negotiate with someone they know versus someone that's unknown. Right. And
well, but let me just throw one thing out there, if it's okay.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. The thing that I would suggest is visibility on its own is not going to get it done. Visibility with value.
Yeah, of course.
Will absolutely get it done.
Of course.
Okay. Where you come at this in terms, and I'm talking about being a real estate broker practitioner, right? You come at this in terms of, look, this is the way this works. And I mean, I would suggest to you that, or suggest to the people that are listening, do a video on the listing agreement, do a video on the buyer broker agreement, do a video on agency and why it's required, right? Do these things that help to educate so that by the time you go and actually sit with a client, you're sitting with them and they're like, hey, I saw your video about da 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 da, right? And what it does is it gives the consumer the information that they need in order to make an informed decision.
Yeah, no, I agree. The only issue is that, and I think part of the reason that we're in this position that we're in the first place is because of the misuse of a platform like a social media. I don't know that social is the 100% reason, but I would argue it's one of the biggest reasons why we are here. And part of that, Mike, in my opinion, is that agents have over-marketed, over-spammed, and they've done so in a way that gives the perception that real estate agents have kind of a cushy career. Mm-hmm. And then when you break it down, the way that it has gone since Eastman and Strasburg, and you look at it from that perspective and you think to yourself, wow, they had to work a hell of a lot harder pre-1990. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you bring this new lawsuit on, and now you split their commission. Well, I don't know if this is irony, but home prices went up to offset mm-hmm. that. But also a listing agent has to basically just list it, market it, and sit back. Whereas before they had to do a lot more work because now you've got this co-op person who's going to do the legwork that you used to have to do. But you know, it's just been such a interesting evolution over the last 5 to 8 years because of social, because of, you know, the dilution of poor marketing that I think has caused a lot of this, and it's put us in this. And then if I can real quick, and then sure. You couple that with what they did right after that Friday when this mm-hmm. came out, and over the next couple of days, and everybody was standing in front of a green screen with the CNN headline. Yeah. And the issue is that your intent was correct, but as I was going to mention about what you said about doing these videos, consumers by and large on social aren't going to watch that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so what happened when they did that CNN one, they watched the first 3 seconds. They probably didn't even listen to what you had to say because you introduced yourself. And so all they took away was that headline. Mm-hmm. And that had a detrimental effect.
Yeah.
And so keep digging the grave.
Yeah. It goes back to what you were talking about though. You're right on. It goes back to what you were talking about on that conference call that you were on, where that executive was basically, I mean, this is not about attacking the public.
Yeah.
Okay. Or the public attacking you. This is about educating them on what they need to know. And in doing that, you're showing your value.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be the trickiest piece. What you said and the premise of this conversation about communicating value and understanding the history and being able to articulate that, that's a must. Like, yeah. You write that down, get your ass back to school, so to speak.
Yeah.
Understand all of this stuff. And then after you do that, I don't have the answers, and I'm considered, you know, a marketing quote unquote expert. I don't, whatever the hell that means. And I don't have all of the answers, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to be working on most with my clients going forward is how to articulate this without coming off spammy, but also commanding the attention so they're not scrolling past you because you bored them with content that is not really meant for social media. That's going to be the biggest trick. And the agent that can effectively do that and articulate that is going to be the one that really excels. And back, I think you said this in the very beginning to a certain point, which is the agent who does withstand is going to probably have the biggest years of their career because of the opportunity that's about to come.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
Which is exciting. Exciting.
It's incredibly exciting. And the best part about it is if you educate the public feels empowered, right? The people that, because here's the thing that you fear the most, no matter who you are, the thing you fear the most is the unknown.
Yeah.
So let's get the light out, right? Let's shine the light on the dark spaces for people so that they now know they're not in the dark anymore. They're seeing the light. You're literally lighting this up for them by sharing the information with them that they need to know. The more empowered a consumer is, the more the consumer is comfortable with going forward to buy a property.
Yeah.
So you're literally going to be enrolling people. If you do it the right way, you're going to be enrolling people that are currently sitting on their hands.
Yeah. Yeah. And the truth is, and for many of you listening to this, the part that Mike just educated you about, sadly, you may not have the opportunity to be able to bestow your knowledge if you don't get to them first through your marketing efforts. And that's where these two things are really going to have to work incredibly in conjunction and well to cohesively together to really establish that value. I agree with you. At the end of the day, the change is going to feel minimal 6 months from now. I think the change is still going to be pretty profound. It is going to change this industry, but for the agents that do these things well, the change is going to be enormously good. You know,
the agents that do these things well already that I've talked to, and I've talked to some of the top producing agents in the nation, and I've worked with some of them to help them. Okay. They're excited.
Yeah.
They are pumped up about this, and not in the negative way that executive was.
Yeah.
They're excited about the future because they know that the playing field just got more even for them.
Yeah. Also a thinning of the herd.
You mind if I share a real quick story with you?
Fire. Let's use that as our wrap up. Yeah.
So this is about education. Okay. And this is what I'm talking about when I'm sort of beating this dead horse, so to speak, but several years ago, I was working. They shut down a Marine Corps air station in Tustin, California, that's up north of us, and they moved all of them down to Miramar. Okay. I was working with a couple to buy their very first house down here. And he was working at MCAS Tustin at the time. So I drove up there and met him most of the way up there, right by the base. And we were having breakfast and we were going over paperwork and going over details. And he was asking me a bunch of questions. And he said, you know, Mike, he said, I've never bought a house before. And he said, and I'm getting peppered with all these questions from the people in my squad. I would love if there was any way to get you in front of them. And I said, you know what? Set it up. He goes, you'd come to Tustin, which is, you know, it's an hour and a half up the road. He goes, you'd come to Tustin and meet with my people. I said, how many do you have? He said, five. I said, I'll just set it up. I'll be there. 2 weeks later, I go up there. I go to the gate. He escorts me from the gate onto the base, tells me where to park. I park my truck. I get on my truck. He puts his arm around me and he says, before you go in there, I need to share something with you. And I said, what's that? And he said, you remember there were five people you were coming to see? And I said, yeah. He said, there's 55 people in that room. Okay. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. And there's two full bird colonels that are in that room to make sure that you don't get up in front of these kids. All of them work for them, right? They are their commanding officer. They're there to make sure that you don't get up in front of these kids and make it sound like that the DOD, the Department of the Navy, the Marine Corps, the U.S. federal government has endorsed you and these kids have to use you. And I said, I won't hand out a single card. I spent the next 2 hours teaching. At the end of it, one of the colonels walked up to me and said, you cannot imagine how thankful I am that you came up here to talk to us today. The amount of information that you gave us is just incredible. I want you involved in every real estate deal that I do for the rest of my life. Okay. This is a Marine Corps colonel telling me this. Okay. There is a massive, massive chasm of information that, people don't have that they really, really want. Okay. We need to be the vessels that feed that to them. We need to be the people that bring them that training.
What year was that?
It was, that's a great question. I don't remember exactly, but it was 1997, 1998.
Different world. What a great opportunity for you, man. That's really cool.
Oh, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And, you know, that's playing out all over the country. Literally playing out all over the country. There is such a thirst for knowledge and for information. Even today, when you're getting all this information thrown at you, there people are looking for how the cookie actually crumbles. They're looking to know how loans work. They want to know how escrow works. They want to know how title works. They want to know what they need to know to make an informed decision.
And how many deals?
People that deliver that.
How many deals did you do out of that?
I lost count.
Over three figures?
Yes. So I ended up working with almost everybody in that room eventually. And the guy who set it up, the one that had me come up and he put his arm around me and all that, I've worked with he and his family on several deals now over the last 25 years.
And probably a bunch of them several times over. Yeah, and then exactly. And then their referrals to boot. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he referred me to people in Texas of all places, right? I mean, you know, it's like, and you know, if you talk to him, I mean, I asked him about what happened because he was the one that originally set it up, right? And he goes, Mike, he goes, I was so nervous when you came up because word had gotten out in the base, right, that this was happening. And you know how word travels, right? Especially on a military base, right? And he said, I was so nervous that I was going to get in trouble. And he said, and the colonel that we worked for came up to me afterwards and thanked me profusely for having you come up.
Wow. Way to not screw it up. Good job.
Oh, it was awesome, man. It was awesome.
That's great, man. That's a great story. That's a great way to wrap this up. So, Mike, I think this has been, again, very, as I expected, very rich. And so if somebody wants to connect with you and have more conversation, maybe ask some questions I didn't ask or talk about something we didn't talk about, what's the best way to reach you?
Probably phone, 760-522-1227. You can text me. I'm on, I do a lot, so I'm not always on where my phone always rings, but just send me a text and I'll get back to you. You're more than welcome to follow me on Facebook, on Twitter, or X, whatever, right? On Instagram, I'm the Mike Litton Experience, just like that, right? The Mike Litton Experience on Instagram. So reach out.
Love it, man. This has been awesome. We'll keep chatting. And hopefully there's not newsworthy stuff that we have to keep chatting about, and we can just do this, you know, not out of necessity and more for fun, but this has been fun. So thank you for being on.
Oh, we're gonna have a great time, buddy. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Take care, brother.
Thanks again.
Lofty is an AI powered platform that agents, teams, and brokers absolutely love, helping them optimize every step of the customer journey from search to settlement by using a single flexible hub to automate marketing programs, streamline the sales process, and maximize collaboration, which is pretty key when you have a lot of people on the platform. Now, with innovative features like Social Studio, AI Assistant, one of my favorites, Dynamic CMA, video messaging, and a lot more, Lofty users have the competitive edge, empowering them to close more deals faster. Powered by proven AI technology, Lofty ensures the real estate pros can spend less time juggling multiple software applications and more time building relationships, which is what we're supposed to be doing. See if Lofty's right for you by visiting lofty.com or call 877-877-3772. Lab Coat Agents Podcast.